The title of my preach is actually called God is Listening. So God, and it's not a heavy God is Listening, it's a God is Listening. And I just want to look at prayer. I want to encourage each of you guys in your walk with the Lord. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but how many of you think of prayer to the Lord as being somewhere high above the earth and it's out of our reach? And for years and years, I tend to think that's how prayer was. It was an obligation. It was just something I had to do. It was a bit of a chore, to tell you the truth. And people would ask me, how is your quiet time going? And I'd say, well, it's not. Or worse still, they would ask me, what is the Lord saying to you? And the first thing that would come to my mind is, well, it's none of your business. But often the underlying answer would be, I don't know. I don't know what God is saying to me. I don't know what the sound of his voice is like. And in that scenario, you sort of think of rabbit caught in the headlights. That's how I felt on the inside. And one of the reasons I found prayer hard was because of what I saw in church. And I would see spiritual believers praying long and eloquent prayers, or letting people know that they'd been praying for hours and they'd been travailing and interceding for hours. And I would automatically think, how can I compete with that? I am not at that level. And that led me to avoid praying in public. I avoided praying in public for a long time because I didn't know what to say. And I compared myself to those people who pray those big, long, eloquent prayers that went on and 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 on. And I remember going to a conference when I was a young Christian, seeing a young guy praying in the aisle for another fella, even before the conference had started. And I was so envious because I thought, how does he know what to pray? You know, how bold is he is? And I just share that experience just to show how hesitant I was and how unsure I was about prayer. And I was a young guy that was going on in the things of the Lord, you know. And then someone said to me once, he said, you know what your problem is, don't you? And I thought, well, I don't, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. And this girl said, she said, it's pride. You want to pray the perfect prayer, you know, and she was right. She was right. And but this skewed view I had of public praying affected my private prayer life as well. You know, when it was just me and the Lord, and it was a wrong view because there's no such thing as a perfect prayer. So today I want to look at a couple of stories from the Bible which show us that really the prayer is something that's not high up there, but it's something in the here and now and the here. And these stories show that God is listening, and he's listening at all times, and he wants to respond to us in a positive way. And when we break through that our negative thoughts, that prayer is complicated and hard, we will begin to realize that God, the God who answers prayers, is about as far away as our breath. So, and whenever we pray a prayer, God hears it and he will answer. And the answer will be one of three possibilities. And these are, it's going to be yes, it's going to be no, or it's going to be not yet. So I just want to look at these in succession. So first point, the answer is yes. Have you ever thought in your head, or prayed in your head, which is the correct term, Lord, it would be really nice if such and such happened, and it happens. I had this experience just the other day. There was something I'd been praying about for a while, and I was beginning to get a feel of what God was saying to me. And I was just driving the car, and I said, Lord, it would be really nice if you gave me a scripture about all this to show me what I'm thinking is right. And bang, scripture popped in my mind. And it was just instant. It was there. So I went home and said to Sandra, this is what God's saying. And this is what, you know, and it was a confirmation, but it was the answer to that prayer was instant. You know, it was a big yes. And one of the first Bible stories of a yes prayer happening is in Genesis chapter 24. And it's when Abraham gave instructions to his steward to find a wife for his son Isaac. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this, of course, to save time, but it goes like this. Go get a girl from my family in the land where I used to live and bring her back to this country. You're not taking Isaac back to the old country because I've been told that my descendants will be here in this country and therefore Isaac is not to go back to the other country. When you find the girl, and if she won't come, you're released from your task. That's it in a nutshell. That's what his servant had to do. So the servant travelled to Abraham's old haunts and prays this prayer. It's Genesis chapter 24, verses 12 to 15. He said, then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand at a well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming down to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I'll also give to your camels a drink, let her be the one that you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. So Abraham's servant had really barely thought the prayer out, and the answer was there. And I wonder, I want to throw this question out to you, how often does that happen to us? We barely think of prayer and the answer's there. But because we think this is not an official prayer and we're suspicious of the result, this has happened to me. Don't know if it happens to you. And another point to know about this prayer as well was the servant was not in relationship with God because he says, O God of my master Abraham. But God still heard his prayer. God was still listening to this man. So how much more will God listen to us when we are in relationship with him? Now, the miracle of this story is that Abraham hadn't actually been seen in his home country for about 100 years. So it's a bit like me getting someone coming from my great uncle Ben, who I know was born in 1894. I never met. He's now dead. But he would have been about 130 years old. Someone coming from him and saying, give me one of your daughters because my great uncle Ben's son wants to marry it. So that's how bizarre it would have been to these people. You know, oh, Abraham, yeah, he used to live here 100 years ago. So that was a miracle in itself. But the Lord had gone ahead of the servant to prepare the way and prepare the hearts of the extended families and to orchestrate Rebekah arriving at the well the very moment the man prayed. And there's a little bit more to this story I'll come to later. I'm just going to swap to another Bible story now. In Acts 12, we read about the Apostle Peter. And says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And so when, and then goes on, Peter got out of jail. The angel led him out of jail. He said, when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And there were many gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was outside. But they said to her, you're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting it was so. So they said, it is his angel. But Peter continued to knock. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And this shows us, this story shows us that the yes in our prayer might not come the way we think the yes is going to come. Yeah, I'm going to repeat that. The yes to our prayer might not come in the format that we are expecting. And certainly that was the case for the believers in this story. Although they were praying for a miracle for Peter to be released from prison, they didn't really expect him to be turning up the gate. We need to learn that lesson from that for our own lives. You know, here's an experience where God answered my prayer immediately, but not in the way I expected. And it was many years ago, and I attended a meeting in the town where I lived, and the pastor that was taking the meeting, he was a prophetic. He moved in prophecy. His name was actually Pastor Perfect. That was his surname, believe it or not. Anyway, and he was, you know, up there preaching. He was giving prophetic words, and it was midweek, and I was really tired after work, and I remember saying to the Lord, thinking to the Lord, I don't know, Lord, is this guy for real or not? And at that very moment, he turned around and he said, when you realise that God can read your very thoughts, young man in the grey shirt, you will realise just how big he is. And I was, he certainly got my attention for the rest of the meeting, but it was just a prayer that was answered, but not in the way I expected. And years ago, I lived in a flat in Maribor. I lived in a place called Maribor. I lived in the best flat in the whole town. It was above street level. It was first level. Had a veranda. I could see all the goings on at night. Just sit up there very quietly. You climbed out into a tin roof in the next shop, so you could lie out on a towel, look at the stars when it was really hot. And it was just a perfect flat for growing African violets. I had at least 60 of them. They just grew. I did nothing to them. African violets are really fussy. Anyway, the landlord said, you need to move. So they wanted the place back. So I just prayed very quickly. Said, Lord, I need a flat. Went to the first letting agent. She said, yes, we've got a flat for you. So I went and looked at it. I didn't like it. Thought it was awful. So I went to another letting agent. Sorry, we don't have flats. I went to about five letting agents. The thing was, we haven't seen a flat for rent for months. So I thought, ooh, I think I better change tack here. So I went back to the first letting agent and took this one available flat, which I didn't really like. But it was a way of God answering my prayer, but not in the way I expected. And by the way, all the African violets died within 2 weeks in the new flat. So, you know, like the believers in Acts chapter 12, I had to see God answering the prayer, but not how I thought it was. So my second point is, when the answer is not yet. In the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 1, we read the story of Hannah, who was the first wife of Elkanah. Now, I say she was the first wife because he actually had another wife called Peninnah. And long story short, Hannah was barren and Peninnah had lots of children. And in biblical times, to be barren was to be cursed, and to have children was to be blessed. And although Peninnah had produced all these children with Elkanah, he still preferred Hannah. And Peninnah knew it and basically gave Hannah a very hard time about it. And so it was, they used to go up to Shiloh every year to worship. And we find them below. It says, Hannah, she was in bitterness of her soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to you all the days of his life, and no razor shall come on his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, who was the priest, watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him. And she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. So this really was a not yet answer for Hannah. And, you know, I believe her prayer was a quiet, desperate prayer that the Lord had heard and answered. And she was totally dependent on the Lord for a miracle. You know, she was unable to have children. But the fact, the Bible says her face was no longer downcast. It indicated that something had touched her deep on the inside and gave her the assurance that her prayer had been answered and had been heard. And she had hope because the answer of her prayer was not yet rather than no. And years ago, I was reading, when I was a single fella, I think I've probably told you this story before. I was reading in Jeremiah, and this verse jumped out at me, and it said, The word of the Lord came to me, you shall not take a wife nor have sons and daughters in this place. And I knew it was for me. I knew it was for me. And my first thought was, oh, I'm going to marry a girl from the next town. And I was just talking about it to the Lord, and I added a wee P.S. to the Lord, and I said, Well, Lord, you know, long blonde hair and nice legs would be really good. When I told a couple of friends of mine, they said, Oh, Neil, you're going too far here. You know, God won't be that specific. But I had total peace that the Lord had spoken to me through the scriptures that my wife was going to come from somewhere different. And I used to have confirmation because I was one of the eligible bachelors of the church at the age of 25. And people used to come up to me and say, I think God's going to have to bring someone in for you. It was that sort of thing. And eventually I met Sandra. And that's what you call a rhema, what they call a rhema word. The word is alive on the inside of you. And I believe that Hannah had a rhema word when her prayer, that, you know, she just had that, her face was no longer downcast. She had a rhema word sitting on the inside. But there's a word of warning here. You know, if you've heard from the Holy Spirit with the answer of not yet, you have to believe the word has come from the Lord. You know, that you don't give in to unbelief. I just want to share another experience. You know, quite a few years ago, Sandra and I were involved in a court case, and we were believing God for a yes answer. And everyone that we were speaking to who were involved, they all said, there is no way you will get this. There is no way. Anyway, and we really had to come against a lot of unbelief and worry about the outcome, and it went on for a long time, probably a couple of years. But towards the end of the court case, someone came to us with an offer to negotiate. And we kind of said yes, and then we'd, we kind of were thinking yes, and we said, we'll think about it, but we lost our peace. And eventually I realised, I said to Sandra, I said, I've lost my peace, and I've realised that if we negotiate, we are actually stopping God from giving us a yes answer here. And so we had to go back to the person and say, we're not negotiating. And in the end, to everyone's astonishment, we got the yes answer. The answer that everyone said, there's no way you'll get this. But for a long time, that yes answer was not yet. Not yet. And we had to believe that there would be a yes outcome, but we also had to behave accordingly. You know, we couldn't negate what we'd prayed. And it's very... And when we look at that story, but when we go back to the story of Abraham, of his servant carrying out his instructions, that servant was faced with hurdles because his instructions were, go get that girl and bring her back here. But if she won't come, you're released. And what had happened was the girl had said yes and the family had said, this is great. And then the family said to him, well, actually, you go back, but we will just have her for another 10 days some whatever so we can say goodbye. And so he just stuck to his guns. He said he'd been told to bring back with a wife for Isaac. So he then chooses to speak to Rebecca and she says yes and she goes. Again, God had prepared her heart. But if he had not been insistent on following his instructions and not compromised, there wouldn't have been an answer to that prayer. So, and sometimes the not yet answer is a result of spiritual opposition. In Daniel chapter 10, it says, and it's an angel talking to Daniel, he says, then he said to me, don't be afraid, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. However, the prince of the kingdom of Persia resisted me for 21 days. But behold, Michael, one of the great princes, had to come and help me because I had been detained there by the kings of Persia. And so that shows that the answer was heard, that God heard the prayer, the answer was straight away, but there was spiritual opposition to the answer coming through. And in James chapter 1, it talks about asking God for wisdom and then being in two minds about the answer. And in a nutshell, the Bible's saying, if you doubt the answer, you'll be unstable in all your ways. So when in this time of not yet, you need to believe and confess and thank God for the answers. And you need to believe that God has heard your prayer, that he's listening the first time you ask, and you don't need to put the same request to him again and again, because that's not faith, that's doubt, that's unbelief. And Philippians 4, verse 7 and 8 says, present your request to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. And that's what happened to Hannah. She had the peace of God which passes all understanding because her face was no longer downcast. Okay, my final point, which is a very short one, is when the answer is no. And we tell our kids no because we know what they want is not good for them. And so it is with God. He knows what's not good for us and he says no. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7 is an example of God saying no to Paul and his companions. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So we see from the scripture here that Paul, the Holy Spirit was saying no to Paul when he wanted to go into Asia and Galatia and all that. Now, when we look at the Great Commission, Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach to all nations. So Paul was fulfilling the Great Commission, but then the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go there. And you know, when God says no, he's got something better. He's got something bigger, different. And I believe Paul probably could have ignored the Holy Spirit and he could have gone into the other places, but he would have been doing it in his own strength. You know, years ago, I'd met some folk and they were with YWAM and they were doing a DTS, which is a discipleship training course, and they were doing it. And they go for a year and they were doing it in places like Hawaii. And I thought, oh, this sounds really good. I can do this for you, Lord. Pick me, pick me. So I got really excited about it. And I went away and I prayed about it. And I only got one scripture, and it was from Galatians 3:1. It says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And I just thought, God's saying no here. And I just had to accept that God knew best. You know, Paul certainly had to do that in Acts 16. You know, that he was obedient. He went on to Macedonia and he met Lydia. Lydia was a successful and influential businesswoman. She was converted. So it started a whole revival there because Paul was obedient. You know, and I had to be obedient with what God said about YWAM. And little did I know that the stirring that he was stirring me up with that was actually the Lord preparing me to move Scotland a couple of years later. It was something bigger and better and something just totally that I just didn't even think about. But God knew. Anyway, so in conclusion, what am I saying here? What I'm saying is God is always listening. He's waiting to hear from us. He's waiting to hear our prayers and he wants to hear our prayers. He wants to prove himself strong in our behalf. And Scripture, 2 Chronicles 16 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." And that's the heart of God. He wants to show himself strong for us as we pray. And, you know, and if you've prayed a prayer that is in God's will and it's a yes prayer and things like salvation, you know, you've got to remember that God will do it. I remember talking to an older man many years ago, and he was in his 70s. He said, "I am praying for my sons to come to know the Lord." And he says, "And I have to believe, if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, that God will still answer that prayer." So whatever your answer to prayer is, whether it's no, yes, or not yet, you know, you need to step out in faith and you need to trust that you're hearing from the Lord and just make a bold step. And sometimes when the answer is no, it's actually hard to do nothing and to think, actually, there's something better. But it can also be really hard and probably even harder when the answer is yes, because sometimes if the answer is yes, you then have to make a step out in faith. Now, in Matthew, it talks about Peter walking on the water, and the Lord invited him to walk in the water, and he did for a couple of seconds, but he looked at the circumstances, he began to sink. And the lesson in that passage of Scripture is, regardless of whether the answer is to your prayers, yes, no, or not yet, you need to keep your eyes on the Lord and what he has said to you, and you can't look at the circumstances that are around you. But, you know, and it makes prayer exciting. You know, I think one of our big problems, or one of our problems, is that we actually don't see how big and powerful and mighty the Lord is. There's a song we used to sing many years ago, and it opened with the lines, "I've made you too small in my eyes." And Psalm 78, verse 41 says, "The Israelites limited God." It says they limited the Holy One of Israel, and they limited God by the thoughts here. And in the New Testament, Jesus couldn't do any great deeds in his hometown of Nazareth because of their unbelief. It says he couldn't do because of unbelief. But I don't think that problem is limited to biblical times. I think it's a problem we all experience. You know, I think we all have to be open to say, "God, am I thinking about you too small?" And just allow our understanding to be opened. And if you think about it, we all have uttered small prayers, many small prayers, and had answers from prayers, and we don't, haven't even realized it. And God's in this, God is a still small voice. You know, we do silent prayers all the time. But, you know, a lot of the time we think, "Oh, this isn't an official prayer." But it is. God's listening, you know. And one reason we do that, I think, is because we have an enemy who's telling us we're worthless. We have an enemy who tells us God will only listen to a prayer of someone who's in right relationship with him. And we all say, we don't know who we are in Christ. You know, we don't know what our right standing with Christ is. And so what I have discovered, the prayer is actually quite simple. It's simply talking to God at any moment of the day and trusting that God is interested enough in my life to want to answer it. It's trusting what the Bible says, that I have the mind of Christ. I have this treasure in earthen vessels on the inside of me, so that I can be confident God will answer my prayers. And I found that it's not the chore that I once thought it was. It's just quite the opposite. It's a privilege to go before God's throne and make these requests at any time of the day. And when you get good at private prayer requests, that will start to spill out into the public arena as well. And you'll be much more comfortable praying with other folk. But I've discovered that how you pray is an extension of how you actually are. When I was at university, I used to get assignments back, which often passed quite well, but very often there used to be this comment, and it was, "This is extremely concise." And that's how I pray. I'm extremely concise. I can't pray big, long prayers. I will say, "Well, Lord, you said in your word, you do it, please do it. Amen. It's as simple as that. And that takes confidence, to be confident in yourself. This is how I pray, and I'm just going to speak out. There is an element of I'm going to speak this out. So, you know, how you pray is invariably tied up with your relationship with God, tied up with being confident in yourself. So I'd encourage you just to become confident of who you are in Christ. And I'd encourage you to try something new and begin with even little requests and just look for the answers. And I want to just encourage you just to believe that God is always listening. He's always listening and he always wants to respond. That's what I've got to say. Thank you.